Our text is from Ephesians, these words, walk as children of the light. That's Ephesians 5, 8. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when we hear that we are to walk as children of the light, visions perhaps of a free life of dancing and singing, prepare the way of the Lord, come to mind the musical Godspell from 1970, Christianity understood to be a type of hippie-esque life of freedom, of joy within the world. I know I've mentioned that before, it just kind of gets stuck in my head. So a more updated version of the understanding of walking as children of light might be that of the song Shine, Jesus, Shine from 1987, calling upon Christ to create his kingdom in the here and now, a political kingdom of peace and joy the world over. Shine, Jesus, shine, fill the land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Well, the nations of the world, they do exist today in the grace and mercy of God. In the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit has gone out and continues to go out through the preaching of the Word of God, the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. A visible kingdom of Jesus? That will happen. It will happen. It will definitely occur, but only on the last day, the day of judgment, the ushering in of the new heaven and the new earth. Then the kingdom of God will indeed be visible and glorious, a kingdom of light, and not a kingdom of darkness. In fact, there will not even be any night in that kingdom of God, and so there will be no need for a light. That's what we read in Revelation, no need for a light or a lamp or even the sun. For the Lord God will be the light in the kingdom of God. But until that day, such a kingdom of God will not exist on this earth visibly. That is, not completely and totally, but piecemeal. Piecemeal in the lives of Christians who live as citizens in that kingdom, and they live as citizens of that kingdom by being imitators of God. Where do we find that kingdom of God then? That kingdom of God is found wherever our Heavenly Father has given His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace, those who have received that Spirit believe His Word and lead godly lives. It's taken right out of the catechism. Walking in the light then means to live a life of godliness, of imitation of our Father in heaven as beloved children approving of and displaying all that is good, all that is right, and all that is true. Pastor, you might be thinking, child of the light is simply a happy person. Person who gets along with everyone. Person who's not too serious about anything. Person who's always fun to be around. Always ready to do anything. Always up. Just simply a bubbly something, you know? Literally bursting with energy and enthusiasm. That is what a child of light is. Scripture does tell us to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, and that description of a child of the light would seem to go right along with that scriptural imperative. And yet the challenge of such a description is that you can be such a person and not know anything about Jesus. There are plenty of interesting and fascinating and helpful people in the world who know nothing of the Son of God, let alone the Father, and yet they live such a life. So walking as a child of the light is more than that. It is more narrowly defined living daily in thoughts and words and deeds that are good and right and true. Living daily in thoughts and words and deeds that are good and right and true. You see, the term light in our text is a metaphor. A metaphor for knowledge, enlightenment, and understanding of what is, in fact, in this world, good and right and true. The godly lives to be lived as citizens of the kingdom of God, then are lives lived in doing such good and knowing such right in affirming such truth. The world, of course, is different, living as it does in darkness. That is, in its understanding, obscured, beset by questions and questions and more questions of what is true and what is false and what is good and what is bad and what is wrong and what is right. And living in such a world where it is hard to discern such things, so it's thought, what is there but empty talk? Empty talk, that is talk which seems to be actually conveying some sort of helpful information about what is good and right and true, but which in fact does not. It's empty talk, as we read in Ephesians there, like empty calories, promising much, delivering very little. Let's be honest, it can be very easy to be overcome by such empty talk. For example, even just 20 years ago, if a 20-something boy declared himself to be a girl, donned a girl's swimming suit, and competed against girls in a swim meet, winning every race, setting record after record after record, the world would have been in an uproar. Both the left and right politically would have condemned such a ridiculous and unfair stunt. Nowadays, however, there are many overcome by a myriad of empty words who say, well, you know, come to think about it, there might be something to that. What can we say? I can't wait, personally, until a 30-year-old swimmer, either man or woman, declares that he or she thinks they're really an 8-year-old boy. And then they compete in the 8-year-old boy division in swimming and really clean up. I mean, what can we say? They are who they think they are. Now, if any alarm bells or questions or concerns just popped into your head as I mentioned such a situation, taken right out of today's headlines, that's all the evidence you need to realize that we do live in darkness. That is, with an imperfect knowledge of what is good and what is right and what is true. And the darker the darkness we live in, the less clear the good, the right, and true actually become. So what's going on there? Well, our reason, that is our capacity to think, has itself become infected with sin. I mean, we like to think that our reason is still intact and functions flawlessly, even though we are beset by sin. But the fact of the matter is, even our capacity to reason, to think rightly, is also affected by sin, just like our conscience. And that being so, we too, even as Christians, are susceptible to the empty talk of the darkness which has enshrouded the world, and can find ourselves having gone down a series of logical assumptions on our part that land us in the world of the bad and the wrong and the false. So what then, Pastor? Are we to spend our lives as Christians pointing fingers here and there and everywhere, noting every instance of the bad things going on in the world and the wrong things that are done daily and the falsity so easily discerned? Is that what we're supposed to do? I mean, is that what we're doing now, even as Christians? That would take a lot of effort on our part, wouldn't it? And what would be the end result if that's what we spend all of our time doing? One of my piano teachers in college had a habit of circling in her copy of what I was playing every mistake I would make as I played. And I could see her out of the corner of my eye doing that. The more she circled, the more she had to circle, as I would be unnerved and make even more mistakes. So we finally had to have a talk. She needed to move out of my line of vision. And a few positive comments my way would be appreciated as well. But her job, so she thought, was to point out every mistake I made. Every single one. Now perhaps the world looks at Christians that way. That Christians have taken it upon themselves to point out every single mistake the world makes. Perhaps, however, it would be better if Christians would instead exhibit the fruit of the light within us. That is, by actually being good and applauding the right and proclaiming the truth and doing so in love. So We walk in love as Christ himself walked in love, giving himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, a sacrifice for the times we too have embraced the darkness, our sin, and promoted or approved or participated in the deeds of darkness. That is, actions that are bad and wrong and false. Walking in love is walking in forgiveness, the assurance that our sins are forgiven through faith, and that that forgiveness, it's also for the world as well. Think here if Jesus had spent his time simply trying to figure out and point out all of what was wrong with the world. What would that have looked like? Yes, Jesus did condemn sin, even especially in those who thought they had no sin. But in eating with the tax collectors and sinners, what was Jesus doing but being the great physician of those who were sick? Not approving of their sickness, their sin, or the way they live, but loving them by sitting down with them and interacting with them as the good, as the right, and as the true. He was our Savior, Jesus, the light being brought to that darkness. But Pastor, no one knows what is good and right and true anymore. Really? No one? So are we, as children of the light, as imitators of God, as his beloved children, are we too simply embracing the empty words of the world so that we ourselves need not worry about what is good and right and true? I think that often is simply the case. We ourselves don't want to take responsibility, so we proclaim that no responsibility is required. It's a nice out on our part and to the world an apparently magnanimous gesture. But Jesus, in eating with sinners, did not declare them not to be sinners, nor insinuate that no one can say who is a sinner and who is not. The point was that the gospel of Jesus Christ is for sinners. The forgiveness of sin is for sinners. Love that is expressed is love expressed for sinners. So if there's no good and right and true, there is no bad or wrong or false. And if there is no light, there's no darkness. And if there's no forgiveness, there's nothing to forgive. By nature, the world infected with sin as it is darkness, and we, to the extent that we listen to and follow the ideas of the old Adam within us, walk in darkness as well. Our moving away subtly then from the idea of the good and the right and the true is our distancing ourselves from the new man within us and moving ever closer to the old Adam, moving slowly and gradually and maybe even imperceptibly from light into darkness. It's kind of like when we used to have those old light bulbs that would grow dim and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer over time, and we wouldn't even realize how dim the room had become until we replaced them with a brand new bulb. Here we can think of the work of the Holy Spirit within us, creating a dwelling place, a brand new place for the light, for our Savior, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. The great light that the people who sat in darkness in him actually saw. A great light which was physically demonstrated in his transfiguration before Peter, James, and Paul, or James and John. In the light of Christ there is love. And in that light of Christ there is goodness. And in that light of Christ there is righteousness. And in that light of Christ there is truth. The truth. In Christ, and only in Christ, are we enlightened to live by walking in his life daily, displaying the fruits of what is good and what is right and what is true, and they should speak for themselves. They alone should proclaim to the world what is not good and not right and not true. I mean, what does a flashlight demonstrate with its light? But just how dark the surroundings actually are. So often then, simply walking as children of the light will be enough. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, and a life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.